When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We give you all the viral stories that are just about to drop. Just please, oh please, oh please, oh please don't let this flop. If you keep scrolling, scrolling, scrolling and you're never gonna stop, then please, oh please, oh please, oh please don't let this flop. From stupid songs and dances, all the cultural advances, we will cover them from bottom to the top. Just please, oh please, oh please, oh please, I promise you'll appease our please, oh please, you please don't let this flop.
Hi, I'm EJ Dixon.
And I'm Brittany Spanos. Welcome to Don't Let This Flop,
a podcast about internet culture brought to you by Rolling Stone. I'm so excited to talk about this, Brittany. I'm so excited. Ever since you sent this to me, I was on vacation last week. And
I know. I literally was sending you so many videos while you were in Disney. And I was just like, EJ cannot miss this. And I hope that she is bored with her family and needs to watch this.
I was bored with my family. I was sitting across from Slinky Dog Dash watching everyone go on the ride. And you sent me these videos and I just could not stop consuming them. Just like obsessively watching them. It's amazing. Please tell everybody what we're talking about.
Yeah. So if you have heard the word womblands in the last week, that means you officially spend too much time online. I think it's fair to say that if that word has entered your vocabulary in the last week, you should go outside, which is a lesson I have learned for myself. If you haven't, well, you're in luck because I've spent enough time online for all of us and now can give you a semi-detailed history of why that word has taken over the internet. Mm-hmm. So first, you need to know who Chelsea Hart and Lance Soucy are. Lance, whose TikTok username is Modern Warrior, has built a platform on calling out racism as well as injustices against Native and Indigenous people specifically. He lives in Denver. Chelsea, who uses they-them pronouns, is an Alaskan comedian with an absolutely insane mid-Atlantic accent. Like, it is so insane that they have to put "I'm not British" in their bio. And I'm just like, but this is an affected accent. But that's just me.
So the other day I asked a woman what she did for work. "I'm just a mum," she tells me. "I did not like this. Just a mum."
Anyway, for quite some time, the pair had allegedly been building up a flirtation via TikTok. They had sort of been in each other's comments and, you know, it just sort of was happening very publicly, but also like not in a way where people were kind of like, "Oh, are Chelsea and Lance a thing?" But they had been sort of in some sort of type of friendship or relationship publicly via TikTok. Chelsea, it seems, had absorbed many of Lance's causes and became a pretty public advocate for him as a personality, but also very similar Native and Indigenous rights activism. Because they live in different states, their relationship was purely virtual until a few weeks ago when Chelsea flew out to Denver to see Lance. There, they had unprotected sex, which is just a bad idea for someone you're meeting for the first time. Don't get flued out to another state and have unprotected sex. That's just a
with someone you don't know.
Don't raw dog with someone in Denver.
In Denver, yeah.
In Denver.
Don't raw dog in Denver, period.
Of the cities to raw dog in, maybe one of the worst cities. But anyway, they did that. And then a few days later, maybe even I think just a day later, while Chelsea was still in Denver, Lance posted on TikTok with another woman and confirmed with Chelsea, who had asked, "Is this someone you're seeing?" that he had been seeing this other person too. This is what sets a chain of events so catastrophic that I believe it's caused a ripple in the space-time continuum.
Chelsea did not respond to this well.
Did not. So on March 2nd, Chelsea... The way that started on TikTok is that Chelsea posted an apology video. The very first video that Chelsea posted about this was an apology video. And it was for an angry Instagram story that they had made in response to what went down in Denver. So in the apology video, they claimed that they had discussed a more serious relationship and that Lance had also suggested being polyamorous, which Chelsea wasn't into. They were pretty measured on that side. And the reason why the apology video was posted is because Chelsea's Instagram story, the angry initial Instagram story, had set off a bunch of neo-Nazis who, because Lance is very publicly anti-racism and points out a lot of racist activity online through his Instagram and TikTok account and just, you know, his general internet presence, there's a lot of neo-Nazis who were spreading malicious misinformation about Lance. It's hard to tell if it had already kind of existed from the neo-Nazis prior to Chelsea. I'm sure there was sort of like a base level of like just like hatred from a lot of these users against Lance prior. But of course, the Chelsea situation made a lot of that worse. Things really soured, though, when Lance posted an apology video that has since been deleted. Lance got very roasted in the comments for this because it basically, I think the people who were pro-Chelsea in the situation, because the first video was so measured, is that he characterizes the relationship as a friendship and regrets being a poor communicator. That was the essential part of the apology. So the video that has gone viral from Chelsea Hart is a stitch of Lance's apology video. And Chelsea did not like the apology, did not accept the apology. So Chelsea pulls out their ring light, a little gray vest, and some basic guitar track to get real fired up. And they claim that they have an ache deep in their womb lands. Well, they're really saying womb, comma, Lance, we have now learned. But womb lands is much funnier and sounds exactly like what Chelsea is saying in that time. And then start screaming, "You fucking knew," in that weirdly off fake British accent.
Which is the new Uncut Gems.
Yes. And basically what Chelsea is talking about is that there was trauma that they had shared with Lance that they felt like Lance had like used them to open up through this trauma. And they're referring specifically to a miscarriage, though there are many users who allege that it was actually an abortion that Chelsea mischaracterized in the videos, which is like even messier. And it's based off a lot of DMs and conversations that Chelsea had had with various users on Instagram and TikTok. So that's, I mean, that's not great if like that is the way that they're sort of mischaracterizing the situation. But anyway, Chelsea posted some more impassioned takedowns of Lance. There are several videos that Chelsea posted and that are still up as of the time that we are recording, where they claim that their trust was violated, especially their request for exclusivity from Lance because they did not want to be in a polyamorous relationship. So within days, this created a full-on TikTok shitstorm. They have millions of followers between them, and the drama is being documented by and even involved numerous other TikTok personalities that I'm not going to break down. Like, it was like, there's a lot of, like, maps that people were drawing up of other people who had also had, like, consensual unprotected sex with Lance and that he had been dating. And I mean, he was really ran through, apparently.
Yeah, other women did come out of the woodwork to sort of confirm Chelsea's story, but yeah. And like support Chelsea at first, but then after a while these women kind of backed away from Chelsea because apparently Chelsea was really trying very aggressively to control the narrative.
Right. And so it was, you know, it's just kind of like a messy, like, Lance was dating a lot of people at once. I don't care to find out who all the people are because I already did not want to learn about these two people. But now I know about their relationship much more than I would like to. But predictably, the discourse has been a massive mess. People accuse Lance of sexual assault, which in this particular instance is not true. That's not what Chelsea is accusing Lance of. They had consensual unprotected sex, and that is what Chelsea has repeated in all of it. It's just the cheating and the polyamory was what Chelsea had an issue with and sort of the lying about other partners. But like, cheating also does not count as sexual assault at all. And Chelsea also continued to dig themselves into a hole with every further video. So the last video that they posted at this time was made to prove a point about both Lance's knowledge of their desire for committed relationship, but also somehow pushing them into a more erotic one. But the text screenshot shows Chelsea offering to show some lingerie and Lance half-heartedly saying, "I'm looking forward to seeing it," before they send a photo. It's actually like a really, it's one of those really embarrassing text things where you would have to put me at gunpoint to share that type of text message. Like, it was literally a block of text from Chelsea being like, "This lingerie is so sexy. Oh my God." And Lance is just like, "Sure." And then they send the photo.
Yeah, Chelsea shared it willingly.
Very willingly. And you and thought they were making big points. And the big point was, yeah, you got clowned and you chose to get clowned. Look, I get why Chelsea is mad on a base level, right? Like, this,
absolutely.
They seem to have developed very genuine feelings for Lance over a period of time. It seems like their relationship went back like a year. Yeah, I don't think it was romantic the entire time, but it seems like they've been close for at least a year in time and have developed a bond between each other. But every single description of the story from Chelsea's perspective seems to show that Lance was pretty clear about his own desire for more freedom in dating and sex. Like every single thing, like Chelsea has pointed out multiple times that he had brought up the fact that he wanted to see other people and was seeing other people. And instead of keeping what sounds like a pretty painful and embarrassing rejection private or for a group chat full of kind friends, Chelsea turned the situation into a TikTok circus. And TikTok pulled out the popcorn and ate it all up. Users imitated the way Chelsea spoke, wrote campfire songs, and have run Womblands into the ground.
You fucking knew down in the Womblands.
Many have also wondered why the fuck we all knew this much detail about a very messy hookup. Do phones not work? Why did it need to be made public in the first place?
I think what's so unfortunate about this is that it really like had the opportunity to be a learning moment for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You know, I think my first response when you showed me this was that it reminded me of the Aziz Ansari story that came out on Babe a couple years ago where, you know, basically if you guys forgot or were not following at the time, which God bless you, somebody came out with a story on the now defunct publication Babe saying that they had like not good sex with Aziz Ansari, like, you know, borderline non-consent.
It was like messy consent.
Yeah. And it sparked this whole conversation about, well, first people were just, you know, pointing their fingers and blaming Aziz and accusing Aziz Ansari of sexual assault. But then the conversation sort of evolved to the point where they were like, well, what is the language that we have to describe sex that is technically consensual, but there is a lack of consent involved in some aspect of it? And we don't have a language for that. And that was a really important and necessary conversation to have because women have sex like that all the time. Like I would say the majority of my, you know, sexual encounters in my late teens, you know, fell into that bucket. And I think that's what happened here. You know, this person, you know, not using a condom and being unclear or dishonest, if you take Chelsea's account at face value about what you want out of a relationship, is shitty. But it's not sexual assault.
Yeah. It's not sexual assault. It does seem like there was a lot of miscommunication. It is really hard. I mean, again, like seeing that one text screenshot sort of makes me really curious what the rest of their communication looked like, because he just seemed so like at a distance of like caring about this like sex that he was receiving and about to receive. But I am very curious about like how the rest of it went down. But I also do not care to see any more details or conversation between the two of them ever again in my life. But
it got so messy so fast. I mean, there were people like when I sort of became aware of the discourse, it had a very like there were like elements of race that were sort of tinging the discourse. Like people were saying Chelsea was weaponizing white woman tears to accuse Lance of sexual assault, which is like Lance is a man of color, which is like not really fair because they're not accusing Lance of sexuals. Like they weren't accusing Lance of sexual.
They're not at all. I do think like the optics are not great in Chelsea's sort of, you know, I don't know. I think like the way that Chelsea approached it and the type of melodrama of like of being a white woman who is crying very publicly over this like man of color, like for something that again wasn't that deep.
Could have just been honest. In your text. Could have just stayed in the text.
Could have just stayed. That's the optics where I think it gets really messy, where it's like, I think that, you know, I think Chelsea's also just like full on internet presence made it worse. Like it's very like, I don't know, just like messy white feministy sort of bullshit that Chelsea has always kind of like played with. And I think that's why it also the optics don't seem as great with it. Especially when you have a platform that big to kind of take this type of, again, not that deep situation and take it to like a public space like TikTok where you both have millions of followers and also have, again, neo-Nazis, as Chelsea said, neo-Nazis bent on killing Lance. Like
they're so dramatic.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing. Like, it's like if you have like if that's also an issue, this in context of that, in comparison to the possibility of neo-Nazis wanting to kill this person, maybe don't put this on TikTok. Maybe don't put this on Instagram. Like, don't bring it into a public space where you have millions of followers and also like the possibility of people who like really are like really hate and want to ruin his life for other reasons.
Yeah. And it was kind of disingenuous in all of their videos. They kept saying like, oh, you know, the point of this is not to weaponize neo-Nazis against Lance, but like, it's clear that that was what was going to happen. And I think they probably on some level were aware of that. So I think they were being disingenuous about that. Well, thank you for sending it to me.
I'm glad that it helped make your Disney experience all the more joyful.
Let's talk about some more straight people.
Straight people.
This week in straight people news, have we ever talked about Elon Musk and Grimes before on this segment? I feel like we must have.
I honestly don't think we have, because they also had allegedly broken up last August before we had even started the podcast.
That's right. I think I was thinking, we definitely talked about how Azealia Banks said that Grimes smelled like a roll of nickels.
Yes. Yeah. Pabst Beer Pussy. Yes.
So smart. So last we were both aware they'd broken up about a year after they'd had their baby. Again, I don't want to pronounce things on this podcast. Like, I just...
I don't think anyone knows how to pronounce the baby's name, so we'll just call the baby X.
They call the baby X. She pronounces it X-A-I Archangel. But apparently, not only did they get back together, but there's also another whole-ass baby that we just didn't know about.
Yeah.
The person who uncovered this secret baby is Vanity Fair reporter Devin Gordon, who went over to Grimes' house to do an interview. And they're talking about her new album. And then it's really funny. We'll link to it at the bottom of the podcast notes, but you guys should read the story. But the reporter hears the baby crying and she asks Grimes, like, hey, do you have another baby? And then Grimes says something even more insane than that question, which is, I'm not at liberty to speak on these things. I don't understand. Like, how are you not at liberty to talk about this whole other baby that you have, especially when you have been just invited a journalist into your home? Like, you're not going to be able to stop a baby from making noise in your home.
Yeah.
Like, you've gone to interview plenty of celebrities, Brittany. Like, has anything like this ever remotely happened to you?
No, there's not been a secret baby in any rooms. I did once. The very first time I interviewed Cardi B, it was very early in her career, and she was still like technically on Love and Hip Hop at that point. But it was very funny. Like, I went to her house and we had been talking for like 30 minutes, and then some guy just came out of her bedroom because he had to leave, and she had locked him away in her bedroom because they had like hooked up the night before. And then he was just like, I really have to go.
Who was it? Were you like, who's that?
It was a guy who was like from Love and Hip Hop, who's not very famous. I can't remember his name, but they were kind of like dating at that time. This was literally years ago. And like, it was like long before Bodak Yellow. And he was just like in the room. And
was she chill about it? Or was she like embarrassed? Yeah,
she was like a little embarrassed. She was just like, she basically, I think, told him to kind of hide away. And he like literally needed to leave. And she had kept him in there for too long.
When I interviewed Doja Cat, and I did put this in the story, they were like, yeah, you'll come over to her house. She'll make you lobster rolls. And I was like, oh, you have a nice house. Is this where you're staying, like, while you're renovating your other house? And she was like, yeah, this is not my house. They just told me to say this was my house. They just rented an Airbnb in Sherman Oaks, like, for the occasion. Because she's like, I don't want fucking people at my house, which I understand. Yeah. I completely understand that. But Grimes, my point is, Grimes should have done that. You know, you're just like, stow away the baby. Your partner's Elon Musk. Like, you can afford to stow away a baby in an Airbnb.
Yeah, put him in the guest house that Azealia Banks was staying in.
The baby's name is Exadark Sidereal.
Okay.
But they call her Y for short. It's apparently, I don't even like want to read this. I have it in my notes, but I don't, it's just, I hate her shit. Like, it's just so hard to,
and I really do not care for her as a person.
She called the word a more elven spelling of sidereal, which she defined as the true time of the universe. Star
just
time.
Exhausting.
It is exhausting. I didn't even want to like read that. Like, the oxygen that it took to formulate that sentence was like difficult for me to sum it up.
Yeah.
I mean, when the story came out, she like kind of had a sense of humor about, I mean, like not really.
Yeah.
On Twitter, she said, "Didn't mean for them to find out about my daughter, so please respect her privacy, as I'd love for her to be able to live as private of a life as possible." Which is fine, but then don't fucking give interviews to Vanity Fair with your kid in the house and pretend that the kid doesn't exist. And then she said, "Me and E have broken up again since the writing of this article, but he's my best friend and the love of my life, and my life and art are forever dedicated to the mission now." And then she explains what the mission she's referring to, but I refuse.
I refuse.
I hate them. I hate them.
Yeah.
I have no objectivity towards those two people whatsoever.
Hi, Don't Let This Flop listeners. This is future EJ here updating you guys on Grimes, who is reportedly, according to Page Six, dating Chelsea Manning, the activist whistleblower and former U.S. Army soldier who was sentenced to 35 years in prison in 2013 for leaking thousands of classified documents to WikiLeaks. Page Six says that they are allegedly getting serious, quote, and they U-hauled it. And they've been living together in Austin. So it seems like Grimes is bouncing back from Elon pretty well. Okay, back to the show.
Can we talk about some better straight people now?
Yes, please. I'm so excited. Okay.
So two better straight people, Robert Pattinson and Zoe Kravitz, are starring in The Batman together. And Brittany, I refuse to see superhero movies of any kind. So you'll have to explain why, because I know you saw it, why they use the article "the" in front of Batman.
That's like the original name of Batman.
Is it like a plot point in the movie? Like, are articles like important for the plot of the movie?
No, it's just like the way that Batman's always been the Batman. We're just used to movies taking out the article to condense it for the sake of like the title. But Batman, that's the original name.
Why did they get rid of it?
I also love that you're asking me this. Like, I'm like a expert on this. Like, I don't know. I just really like Batman movies, but like the Batman, I've never read a single comic, but I know that the Batman is the original way that he's billed in the DC comics, like from the early 20th century, is like, that's the name, is the Batman.
I only refer to him as what my son called Batman when he was three, which was Dr. Bat. I'd never talked to him about Batman before, and we were at the doctor's office or something, and he pointed to a Batman figurine and he was like, "Oh, that's Dr. Bat." And I was like, I really don't think he has a medical license to practice medicine. So Robert Pattinson and Zoe Kravitz are starring in the Dr. Bat together, and they're doing this thing on the press tour. It's a thing the celebrities do, you know, where they pretend to be like flirty and in love.
And I eat that shit up every time. Every time.
But you know, but you're like a savvy media consumer, like, you know, it's just for promotion,
and I love it. I like don't believe in guilty pleasures, but my guilty pleasure is that I watch Marvel press interviews when new movies come out, even though I won't see the movie, because more likely than not Chris Evans and Sebastian Stan will be like really horny together.
I mean, that's a lot better than this, in my opinion, because like they're confirmed, Robert and is confirmed to be dating Suki Waterhouse.
Yeah.
For like a long time. And Zoe, I believe, is dating Channing Tatum, right?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I think like Jason Momoa like semi-confirmed it, because they like were like, "We're supporting RZ," and like shared a bunch of photos of him and Channing being himbos and attending the premiere together.
That's hot. I love that.
Yeah.
But this is like, I don't know, they're boring people, in my opinion. And like,
I disagree.
I knew you disagree. I knew you disagree about Channing. I knew you disagree about Channing. But you think Suki Waterhouse?
You included Channing in that? You included Channing in the boring people?
He's boring.
That's absolutely disgusting.
He's a himbo. He's just like your standard himbo.
Have you not seen Magic Mike XXL?
Don't
say no. Don't say no, EJ.
I think I haven't. I didn't like the first one. It wasn't for me.
The first one was bad. It was canonically bad. No one likes the first one.
So why would I watch the second one?
Because the second one is really fun. It's a road trip. It's a himbo road trip comedy.
Oh, my God.
It's a bunch of male strippers who are literally on a road trip heading to a male stripper expo. And they are basically just stripping along. They're basically like relearning how to love the art of stripping along the way and like celebrating the fact that it's meant to bring immense pleasure to women. And there's like Jada Pinkett Smith is in it as like a, I don't even know. She like runs like a male stripper review out of her house where it's just like filled with women who are just like getting like lap dances from Donald Glover. And then they just show up and do it too. There's like Andy McDowell who like sleeps with Joe Manganiello. Like it's just like it's a good time.
Yeah, it sounds fucking great. Honestly, you're right. I'm probably going to watch it tonight.
I literally rewatched it like last week.
But Zoe is dating Channing, who I guess I need to revise my opinion of. But they're flirting constantly on this tour.
The dressing room must have. I actually know what, because I actually went in your dressing room.
What?
Times without you realizing. Used to use your toilet because mine didn't work.
Where? No, you didn't.
And people are getting really upset about it because it's just obvious that it's just...
They're not upset about it.
They're offended.
I am sick of being a victim to marketing movie couples because I am a hopeless romantic fangirl that eats this shit up. They have more sexual tension in these interviews than they did in the movie. Either fuck or don't.
They're not offended. They're just kind of like they want them to fuck, because that's the thing about the Batman is that it's really horny and they have all these like really like intensely horny moments together and they're both so hot, but they never consummate it. Like there's no like sex scene, and there should be a sex scene in the Batman. It's insane that they're not fucking in their little bat and cat suits, but like, yeah.
Yeah, that's offensive.
Yeah. So I think that's what people are just like, I would like to have seen them just bone a little bit.
Yeah,
just it's like a little dry hump.
It's offensive when hot people don't fuck in front of people.
Yeah. So I think that's what people are sort of like. They're like, they're repressed horniness, but they're not mad. They're just, you know, being play mad about it.
Stop pretending that you're fucking. Like, put up some raw dog footage on Pornhub, not from Denver. Or get the fuck out. Like, especially if these people are as hot as like Zoe Kravitz and Robert Pattinson, like we need to see some evidence. We need to see a smooch or something. Yeah. Like, you cannot do this to us.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, just a little something.
Do they smooch in the Batman?
They do. They smooch.
Okay, good. I'm glad they smooch.
Yeah, there is like kissing, but do they just like raw dog in the Batmobile? No.
Why not? Why not?
Why not?
Why not? That's what literally everybody wants to see.
Yeah.
People just want to see porn all the time. Like,
yeah.
Everybody just needs to realize that.
And the fact that there's not enough porn in the Batman is really a tragedy.
I do love that this podcast, and specifically this segment, is just like an outlet for our extreme horniness at this point.
You should record this at 9 a.m.
Yeah, on 9 a.m. on a Friday.
We just scream about how
we need to see people fuck. Yeah. It's perfect.
Let them fuck. I'm excited. Okay, so I sent this to you, but I also like did not catch up on it beyond like the first two videos I saw about it. But it seems like you've gotten really into the story.
Oh, don't worry. Don't worry. I got you.
And so I'm excited to hear what you've learned about this thing that I just was like, this seems interesting that you now you texted me at one point this week and were like, I'm deep in it.
I'm deep in it. And
I
was like,
I had already forgotten the girl's name.
So I also want to shout out, because I couldn't have really like researched this without her, Andrea Marks, who is a culture reporter for Rolling Stone, who has been doing really good work on this. And she kind of walked me through this. But we've talked a lot about like true crime TikTok on this podcast and how people go out of their way to sniff out scandal and impropriety, when often there's like really nothing there. I mean, with the Wombland story that we were talking about before, that was just messiness. Like, that wasn't an actual there was no actual scandal there.
Yeah, but the true crime was the investigative quality that people were giving to it.
Yes. But in the case of this dancer named Miranda Derrick, there actually may be something a little more dark going on. So Miranda is a dancer with a pretty big TikTok following. I think she's got a couple million followers. She used to go by Miranda Wilking, and she has a sister, Melanie, and they were both influencers. They were known as the Wilking sisters. They'd post pretty generic, adorable dancing content. They're kind of a dime a dozen on TikTok, honestly. Just like very,
yeah,
you know, very skinny, able-bodied, conventionally attractive white women who can kind of dance. But a few months back, Miranda stopped showing up on their page and people started to speculate why. And in late February, Melanie reposts this really creepy video of Miranda dancing in a field to Billy Joel's My Life, with the caption saying that Miranda is, quote, the victim of a church-based cult in the LA area, and the family has not spoken with her since January 2021. And the caption then goes on to allege that this church, which it doesn't actually identify, cuts people off from the outside world and exercises control over followers, finances, money, and time. And she posts it with the hashtag Free Miranda. So obviously this raises everybody's eyebrows. And it doesn't take long for people on TikTok to find out what organization this post is allegedly referring to. Miranda and her husband, James, who is also a dancer, who goes by B-Dash, are both represented by the same management firm, which is called 7M Films, which is a pretty big social media management company for dancers based in L.A. And according to this tearful Instagram Live that Melanie did with her parents, it all started in January when Miranda refused to fly back to her home in Michigan to go to her grandpa's funeral. So they flew out to see her, and Miranda just refused to have any contact with any of them. So it all sounds pretty suspicious.
Yeah.
So how is 7M linked to an alleged cult? According to reporting from our culture writer, Andrea, 7M Films list this guy, Robert Shin, as the CEO, according to California Business Records. And he is also listed as having incorporated the Shekinah Church, which is a Pentecostal sect based in Santa Ana, about 20 years ago. And both businesses, according to Andrea's reporting, are registered at the same address. And 7M reportedly stands for Seven Mountains Mandate, which is based on a biblical verse. And followers believe that their job is basically to overtake all cultural spheres, education, business, the media, and purge all witchcraft and demons from them. So pretty intense. But Miranda obviously does not agree that this, you know, she has a different version of events. She releases a video on TikTok, weirdly to the tune of the Pussycat Dolls' Buttons, claiming that she's not in a cult. She's perfectly happy. She cut off contact with her family because they did not approve of her marrying B-Dash, who is black. And in his own statement, B-Dash said it wasn't a cult at all, but that instead it was a, quote, secular for-profit company run by people who have faith in God, which is a very weird distinction, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, not really a distinction at all. But okay. And I should also note that we've reached out to all of these people many times, but as of recording, haven't heard back. So we do not know their sides of the story directly. We only know this from social media posts. But the weirdest thing by far about all of this to me isn't really the cult allegations and whether they're true or not. It's kind of two things. It's what is going on with this huge social media management company, which, you know, has been on featured on Ellen, has runs the pages for a lot of big TikTok and Instagram influencers. Like, what is going on here? Mm-hmm. This is not some podunk company with like a religious affiliation. This is like a big company. And also, like, even in the midst of all this, the content on Miranda and Melanie's pages is just like typical influencer stuff, which is really creepy. But even though this drama is unfolding quite publicly in real time, influencers are just, you know, going to keep influencing.
Yeah. Do you feel like you're susceptible to a cult?
No, I'm too mean.
Yeah, I think you would ask too many questions.
I would ask too many questions. I would be like, wait, why do we have to wear these robes? I don't think you'd be in a cult, Brittany.
I've had many of my friends be like, I'm the most susceptible to being kidnapped or in a cult. Like, I would be either someone who would be, I feel like I'm very nice to new people that I meet. And I like to be like very sort of accepting of all of their weird stuff before I eventually learn that they're just weird and probably should not hang with them anymore. But I will keep it going for too long.
Okay, but there's a distinction. I don't like you. I could see you being nice to somebody who is like, I believe in like an alien who lives in the sky and like punishes Jews, you know, like I could see you being nice to that person, but yeah, there would be a line. Like, I don't think I couldn't see you getting like sucked into that person's ideology.
Well, it depends on what the ideology is, right? Like, I'm not going to go with someone who says something like that. But like, if someone was like, yeah, I'll manage you and make you an influencer, I'd be like, yeah, sure, why not?
So if there was like a career benefit.
Yeah.
So you would have been a Scientologist, because that's exactly how Scientology sells itself.
Okay, have I talked to you about my Scientology thing?
No. Were you a Scientologist?
I've been to the Scientology Center like numerous times in Times Square, and I have been to a service before.
How was it? Oh my God. I can't believe we've never talked about this.
So I don't know. I actually had to bring this up to a few friends very recently. We were just like all hanging out, and they were just like shocked by this. But I don't know. You could walk into the Scientology Center in Times Square. Like, anyone can do it. And so the very first time I went to New York, I just like walked in, and I was with my dad, and we just like walked in, and we took a tour, and they gave us like a Dianetics DVD. We didn't see any of the fun stuff. I think it's because we're Black, but like, we just like only made it so far. I remember they had free food. It was like an open house. They were literally having an open house. I think that's why we walked in. And then I went in again, also for free food and an open house. I think I was with some friends and we walked around. And then one of my friends, freshman year of college, was doing, I don't know, she just like was writing about Scientology. She just like was like, she did not like it and was like very curious about like what it was. And we like went to a service because she was like doing interviews there, and we went to a service and we almost got kicked out because she asked too many questions while I was just kind of sitting there. Like, being like, this is fascinating.
What kinds of questions did she ask? She asked questions?
Well, the thing about the service, well, it was really fucked up. So the service was basically a Scientology service is like in this room where there's a bust of L. Ron Hubbard at the front, but there's also a lot of crosses around. Like, there's a lot of Christian sort of like iconography happening around it. And you're like in pews, and it's structured like a Christian, like a Catholic service. Where there's like readings and there's like all these sort of like, you know, there's also like the I like went to Catholic school, I can't remember, but like basically like when the priest in a Catholic service like kind of reflects on the reading, they have something similar to that. But the readings are very like quote unquote logical. Like, they're based in like this idea of like everything happens for a very specific reason. Like, it's not meant to be like sort of like a moral dilemma, but it's like, here's how to solve your moral dilemmas, and it makes no sense. So I remember very distinctly that particular reading that day was a rule of thirds, and the idea that no matter what conflict you're having, if there's a conflict between two people, there's a third party that's responsible for that conflict. And I remember them saying that if you, the examples that they were giving were like, say you and your partner are fighting, the reason might be their mother-in-law has created a fight that has caused tension between you two.
That's so fucked
up. It was super fucked up. Mm-hmm. And so I remember in the middle of the service, my friend literally interrupted and was like, excuse me, but that doesn't make any sense in the middle of the service. And it was like, I don't know, it was like very strange. Like, it was like very structured around like this kind of group therapy almost, where it seemed like all the people that were there were pretty troubled. Like, it wasn't super packed, but the stories that people were sharing seemed like they came from very troubled backgrounds. Like, they had history of like substance abuse, or like had been homeless at different points in their life, or very precarious living situations that they were dealing with. Seemed like they had suffered from a lot of trauma, and which is why they probably were attracted to Scientology. So they were sharing their story where they're like, oh yes, this conflict I had with my ex-wife may have been because of her like sister who caused these issues, or like you know, my like I don't know, it was just like weird stuff like that. My friend like literally interrupted all of it and was just like, hey, this is fucked up. yeah
but that's what I would do, honestly. That's why I wouldn't be in a cult. I mean, of course Scientology vehemently denies that it's a cult, but
yes,
I mean, that's exactly why I would not be in an organization like that, because I would just scream at people. There is one caveat. If, and this goes back to the, how this podcast is a platform for horniness. If a hot person was in a cult, like an exceptionally hot person, and was trying to get me to join, I probably would. I'd check it out at least.
Yeah. I mean, again, this is like, this factors into a belief that I have of myself and that people around me have said, is that I'm very gullible in some situations. Not all situations, but like, I don't know, like I would be someone who would be murdered by Ted Bundy, you know?
Because hot? But he wasn't that hot.
I mean, if Ted Bundy, I mean, he's like hot enough.
He was, like, he was hot enough.
I mean, I don't know if he dated black. This is why I can't be in most cults, because I'm black. Like that's the thing. Honestly, being a fat black woman has saved my life many times because Ted Bundy would not have been attracted to me. And it's nice to know that because I probably would have gotten to his car.
Brittany, I think Ted Bundy would have killed you.
He dated a lot of skinny white women. That's the only thing going for me.
I know, but I just, you know.
That would have saved my life.
I just want to gas you up a little bit. I just want to gas you up and say, I think Ted Bundy would have killed
you. I'm happy to not be Ted Bundy's type. I'm more than fine with that, but he is my type, and that's okay.
I do think that cults are specifically a white lady problem.
Oh, they are such a white lady problem. Yeah. And that's, again, this is why my life would be saved in many instances, because I am not the type of person they would want to bring into a cult. Like they're very, a lot of cults have very sort of like weird racial things going on with them, mm-hmm. where they're like trying to like build some sort of idea of like what their ideal society is, which is why they're, many of them are essentially horrible for many levels, but they're also technically kind of racist, a lot of them.
They are.
So
they are.
I think my life would be saved by racism in a cult situation. And that's good to know.
But there were some cults that specifically targeted black women in particular, like Jonestown.
True, yeah. Yeah.
Would you have been in Jonestown?
I don't know. Maybe. Probably. I don't want to rule it out.
He wasn't hot enough, I don't think.
Yeah.
He was kind of gross.
Yeah. It would really depend. But like, I don't know. It'd have to be a hot person.
What about Nexium? Did you think Keith Raniere was hot?
No.
I kind of did. I get Nexium. I think I would have been a good recruit for Nexium. That's the one cult that I think, because they cloaked it in like feminist empowerment. And I'm such a fucking idiot that I probably would have bought it for a second. Like, oh, I love like liberal. Yeah. I'm like a liberal white feminist. Like, that sounds great. Like, I would at least have gotten coffee with Allison Mack. Also, Allison Mack was recruiting.
Oh, I would have absolutely gotten coffee. I loved Smallville.
Yeah, exactly.
I loved Smallville. I would have been like, hell yeah, Allison Mack. That show rules.
Are you kidding? I would have been like, yes, Allison Mack. I would love to meet this person who you and like 11 other people are dating. That doesn't sound weird at all.
1,000%. I don't know. There are certain situations where like I know that I have hard limits. I have many hard limits. I have a core belief system that is unshakable. And I, you know, there are certain situations where I wouldn't live on a fucking farm for sure. Like none of those cults, God willing. Like I'm not going to live in a commune.
Yeah, you don't like discomfort. You like convenience too much.
I hate discomfort.
Cults.
But
yeah.
If it was just like a cult where we like lived in a city and it was run by some hot people where we just like, you know, all like had sex constantly, like, yeah, I would join that cult. If it leads to me drinking poison at some point, I probably earned it.
Yeah, if there's a cult leader who's trying to start like an orgiastic cult of exclusively
and most
hot
of them
people
are.
And is inclusive, then we're down.
Yeah.
Like we will come to your meetings.
Yeah. So we support and you know, that's probably the limit of it. But would I join a cult? Yeah, probably. I'd probably accidentally get caught up in a cult.
Speaking of hot people fucking, let's do himbo, I guess.
Yeah, let's talk about a himbo who, if he started a cult, I would absolutely join. So, as someone who is aesthetically Italian-American, I find Big Soprano's energy very attractive in a man. So that's why the discovery of the account Mob History has completely ruined my life. So Mob History doesn't have his official name public, so I'll just be referring to him as Mr. Mob for the rest of this segment. So last week, Mr. Mob replied to a comment from a follower asking him to marry them. And in response, he gave a truly iconic answer.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart. I'm flattered, but you don't want to marry me. There's a lot of girls on this app that ask me to marry them, and I'm explaining to all of you why you don't want to marry me, okay? I'm an alcoholic. I chain smoke cigarettes. I'm a pothead. I got bad teeth. I'm greedy. I'm selfish. I lie. I cheat. I steal. I got paranoia. I got PTSD. I got depression. I don't like doing things. I don't like going out. I'm boring. I don't want to hear about your day. I don't want to meet your family. I don't want to meet your friends. I don't want to know where you're going. I don't want to know where you've been.
So I love that type of honesty from a man. I love someone who's just like, I am not marriage material. Like, say it straight. Say it. Just like, give it to me straight.
If Lance had done that, then we wouldn't have had womb Lance.
It's true. It's true. And it goes without saying that Mr. Mob is also deeply hot and like just like covered in tattoos, just like looks like he's definitely thrown some bodies into a river. He just looks really, really hot. But like many people in the comments of this video, I did also believe that I could fix him. That wasn't until a follow-up video he posted where he stated that he ain't broken. And that's even hotter.
Well, I got news for you ladies, all right? I ain't broken. Just because I ain't marriage material don't mean I got any regrets, all right? It's called a lifestyle, baby.
So, Mr. Mob, call me.
Do you think he's a Trump supporter? Do you think he's a Trump supporter, though, Brittany?
He's anti-cop. I went on a deep dive.
Oh, good. Okay, thank God.
I know, he's at least anti-cop, which seems very not Trumpy.
Yeah, thank fucking God. Every time we do a himbo, I ask myself if they're a Trump supporter. It like keeps me up at night. Because I think it happened once. Did it happen that we like wrote in a himbo and he was a Trump supporter and we like cut him? Or is it, I don't know. It's just like a conversation that we have.
I love Mr. Mom. He's truly perfect. He's my ideal type.
Absolutely.
I got a serious speech impediment. There's a lot of fucking things over here. Go and find yourself a nice guy. Go and find yourself a good man. Treat him right.
Thanks so much for listening to Don't Let This Flop, brought to you by Rolling Stone and Cumulus Podcast Network. Written and hosted by me, Brittany Spanos, and EJ Dixon. Executive produced by Jason Fine, Bridget Chelsea, and Elizabeth Garber-Paul. Edited by Dan Stein. And original music composed by Daniel Martzleft.